The Business on RTE Radio 1, sponsored by AIB. We see Brave and we're backing it through Brexit.
Well, sticking with COVID, our next guest company has been playing an integral role in sourcing accommodation for homeless families during the crisis. Mairead Mackell has many business interests. She employs 1,200 people across the north and south in Terraces Enterprises. As well as housing for the homeless, they provide home care for the elderly, as well as other businesses, which we'll get to. Mairead has won numerous awards for her work, from an Employer of Choice Award to finalists in the Ernst & Young Entrepreneur of the Year. Mairead, you grew up on a farm in Fermanagh as one of nine children. Was it always the plan to set up your own business?
Never in a million years did I ever plan to be running a business. My parents were very much into education and they had sent us off all to university. And I had actually went to Belfast and studied podiatry. But when I look back then, the reason I chose podiatry, I think it's because it was one of the only courses that had clinical autonomy. So I was always like quite an independent spirit. When I finished, my intention was, the plan was to go and get a job as a podiatrist and that be me set for life. But the problem is, when I went to get a job, I applied for loads of jobs in podiatry, and then when I went, I never passed any of the interviews. So I don't know what happened there, but it actually forced me to sort of rethink. I was actually married with one son at that stage and was fiercely independent, wanted to make my own way in the world and really didn't want to be like dependent on anybody else financially. So I thought to myself, well, the only thing I can do really is set up my own podiatry business. I started up a dietary practice, but quickly realised that was a very restrictive business model for me, because I had a young family and I was like stuck in this clinic Monday to Friday, 9 to 5. And if there was something on in school or there was an appointment, I couldn't get out. And the other end of it was, from a business point of view, if I had closed down the clinic, there was no income. So it wasn't a good business model for me. So then I started to look around at that stage to see, what else can I do? I just accidentally came across the idea of home care at that stage. It was like back 25 years ago, and me and my husband sat and talked about it and we said, right, we'll go for this. Got started really from the kitchen table, and we just worked and we employed 10 people in our first month. But to say, it got to a stage where the hours were too long, and at that stage as well, with a young family, my husband was in America, and on one of those trips he brought me back a book called The E-Myth by Michael Gerber. One of the key things that stood out for me, and I still remind myself every day, is that he said in that book, is if a business isn't giving you more life, it's taking your life away, and if it doesn't give you more freedom, then it's not a business at all. And I thought, well, I don't have a business at all, so I need to look at this completely differently. So what I started to do was develop a team and learn to delegate. And from that then, my ambition of employing one person, then we now employ 1,200 people across Ireland, and we provide 3,000 beds every night for people in housing crisis, and we do 5,000 calls every day for social care. But I think the attitude, it's like, I think in my opinion really, was the reasons for our growth, is when a couple of years before we got married, me and my husband were on a trip on the south of France, and we had hired a car, and on the back of the car there was a little slogan on the back of the car. It was like, oui, je peux. And we asked the, you know, the guy who had, we'd hired it from, what that meant, and it said, yes, I can. So we thought, well, that's a really good mantra for business. So we actually took that back from there. And then, so our mantra then was, in business, was really, you know, the answer is yes, now what is the question?
And was that mantra then part of your decision to join forces with your husband's company, merge them together? And did you have a master plan from the get-go?
My husband was involved in property, and then he's very innovative and entrepreneurial. And it wasn't really, we didn't have a business plan. It was just, we're solutions driven. We'll think, well, we'll do it and we'll work it out later. And as I was saying, like, my husband says to me that, don't show me a spreadsheet because that makes me fall asleep, you know. He just wants to, I suppose the two of us are a bit like that. We see where we want to go and we figure out how to get there. But how we get there really is with the strength of the team that we've built.
You and your husband, you're working parents. You have seven children. The eldest is 29. The youngest, I think, are twins. They're age 5. Are they involved in the family businesses? And what have you been getting up together in lockdown?
We're a close family. So our eldest is married and lives across the road, not too far away from us, and the other 6 live at home with us. The older ones are very much involved with, you know, all of our businesses. So they're really part of the decision-making process. And during lockdown, I mean, I suppose the first stage was chaotic, really, because, I mean, we were dealing with people, you know, on the front line doing essential services. So people were scared. We didn't really know what was happening. And I think as an organisation, the key thing that we had to do was really make sure that people were safe. You know, make sure that everybody had like the PPE that they needed. We had to order a container from China because we use, I think it's 1,000 boxes of gloves a week. So we're afraid of running out of that to make sure that people had the tools. But I have to say, our team were amazing. I always use the analogy, which I have definitely never done, of building your beach body in the winter, which I haven't done. But it's like building, we have built our team over the last 25 years and we have like that sense of purpose there. And I think that's the glue that keeps the culture together, I suppose. But it was chaotic. We turned our living room into a conference room for the first like 4 to 6 weeks. And it was just calls, calls, calls all the time. Like one of the key things we did as a family during lockdown is we thought, well, what can we do to, you know, create something? So we decided to produce our own sanitizer.
You started another business from your living room of hand sanitizers when the rest of us were just eating boxes of chocolate and crisps and gorging on Netflix.
Well, we were doing all of that as well. But we thought, as well as just eating all that stuff and doing whatever, we decided that we would, thinking of our own team as well, because what we could produce it for ourselves. It was a whole family project because we got, my husband and the sons, they went and we set up a wee bottling plant just across the road. And we had my daughters designed the label, it's myhandcare.com. So they got all of that done and the social media. And then we donated a lot of it to, we used it ourselves for our own staff. And then we donated it to, you know, churches and schools and stuff like that once they opened again. And so we spent our days really just, we were all involved in bottling it and labelling it and all that sort of stuff. So it was good fun.
And Marie, do the kids dread that moment when you come to the kitchen table and go, I have an idea, and they know, here we go, jobs, she's going to have us busy?
No, I think the ones in the office are actually worse. They'll be going, what is she going to be talking about now? The kids don't mind. They always seem to sort of get behind us. But they'll tell you as well if they think that's a crazy idea, you know. So and we come up with lots of crazy ideas as well that doesn't work at all. So as I always use the quote of Winston Churchill, which I think describes me very well. It's like success is stumbling from failure to failure with no loss of enthusiasm. So like that sums me up very well.
And tell me, in all of that, are the kids self-starters like you? Do you think they've got the entrepreneurial mindset and the bug?
Well, the eldest one, he has already started his own business. And I think what they do is they see opportunity for themselves. They're growing up in a home that's very, you know, like anything's possible. And like the bigger ones definitely want to all start businesses. And
and will you help them?
They're all very involved. They're all very involved in the businesses. I know I was laughing because the little ones see me delegating quite a lot, especially during lockdown, because I'm at home quite a lot. And one of my little twins come up to me the other day and she was going, Mummy, are you the boss of everything? So I thought, well, what sort of an image am I portraying here? But then I thought, on the other hand, it's really good for the girls to see that, you know, anything is possible, that they can do, you know, that they can do whatever they want to do. So,
and what was your answer to her, Marie, when she asks you, Mammy, are you the boss of everything?
Yes, of course I am.
Very good.
Much to my husband's dismay, but he doesn't pass any remarks. You know, we're doing this 1,000 gifts for homeless families before Christmas. The kids are all involved in that. And, you know, they'll be involved in going out with our team and delivering that. And, you know, so I think it's good to see business, yes, and see opportunity, but it's also good to see that it's not just about them. It's about how you can serve your community and how you can do so much more than that.
And Marie, with all of the businesses, the passion projects, the personal commitments that you have, like, how do you prioritise in all of that? And do you ever just feel absolutely exhausted?
Not really, no. It's quite, it's exciting because there's always interesting things to be done. When I was younger with younger children, I would have been exhausted because I didn't ask for help or I wanted to do everything myself. But I've come away from that. And, you know, I remember reading a book called The 21 Laws of Irrefutable Leadership by John Maxwell. And within that book, he talks about the law of the inner circle. And I think I really believe in that. So I have an amazing team at work. I also have an amazing team at home of like my babysitter. I have two amazing babysitters, but one of them has been with me for 21 years. So You know, you have an amazing team at home as well that you totally trust. And business doesn't stress me. I mean, the home things would obviously stress you. That would be a bigger thing, because I remember when the twins were born at 30 weeks, and that was a bit of a challenge because I had just taken on a new general manager at that stage.
And why is it that home life sometimes can be more stressful than the business? Is it because of the pressures that the business then puts on your sense of priorities, your sense of self, your sense of responsibilities to family?
No, with business, there's always a solution. And I suppose it depends on your mindset. I would always, again, going back to Michael Gerber, you know, one of his lines out of that book was, if you're not growing, you're dying. And I think that's a really important mindset to have. And that doesn't have to be like building your business. It can be, you know, growing in terms of your patience or your development as a person, you know, your team, you know, your family values. I think we're all moving parts. So I think that's a really good way of looking at things. And I know the ones in the office, they're going, oh, here she goes, quoting Michael Gerber again, we're not growing or dying. But I mean, I think that there's always a solution in business. You can't really let it stress you. Like, and family wouldn't stress me either. But naturally, as a mother, you know, your key thing is making sure that your children are okay. And like, I'm a mother of seven, so as I said, that's not a lifestyle choice for the faint-hearted, but that's my choice and that's the way I want to live my life. So if I'm going to do that, then I need to make sure that my business can run without me. It was funny the time that I was pregnant with the twins, because there was a big gap and all. Well, we have a seven-year-old as well, but there was a big gap. So I was actually afraid to tell anybody I was having the twins. But then I had employed this new general manager. And then the next week, my CFO, who was my main right-hand woman, announced that she was expecting twins as well. So here we were, and I was thinking, oh, it's okay, you know, I've about 4 months to get this general manager set up and everything will be fine. But I then ended up going into labour early at 30 weeks, and the twins were born early. And that was quite a challenge, because I couldn't go into the office at all. I was in they were neonatal for 4 weeks. And then Caroline, then her twins were born 10 days later. So here we were, like, this poor guy was just thrown in at the deep end to just manage by phone, but he managed very well. And I suppose then in our house, it was quite stressful at that time, because when we got them home after 4 weeks, like, they just didn't sleep for like 4 years. And I always say, it's like, I don't know if anybody has ever heard of locked erg, but it's like locked erg every night of the house and every night of the week in our house, because there was nobody sleeping, and sleep's very important. So, you know, get the help around you and just get through it. And look back and just have a laugh about it now.
I'm glad you have a sense of humour about it. And when you look at the, you know, working parent, the seven kids now, you're doing a lot of good in the world with businesses. What is your sense of responsibility to that next generation coming behind, your own kids, but other female leaders? And how do you want to go about empowering them? What is your sense of responsibility?
Well, I suppose I feel a duty to the next generation to help them, especially women, to develop themselves as leaders, because you do see, like, the research is all there that, you know, women on boards and whatever is really beneficial for business. But I think, as I said, that we have the law on our side compared to maybe 100 years ago, but it's not about the law, it's about culture and behaviour. And that's why I set up Evolve Women. And Evolve Women is really because women need to see themselves as leaders. Women as leaders are team builders. They're calm in a crisis. You know, they're used to maybe, you know, managing things or multitasking or whatever, and they're very grounded in life and reality. So you see their, like, the evidence speaks for itself. So I'm excited now about Evolve, how we can, like, showcase leaders. 20 years ago, if we asked a woman, like, do you lead the same as man? And they'd say, yeah, I do. But nowadays, actually, they say, no, I don't. I lead my own way. I lead uniquely. And I think those are the qualities of female leaders are really coming to the fore now, like empathy and listening. And the one thing that I suppose the pandemic has done is shone a light on the fact that women do lead differently, and we need to be like proud of that. So that's what Evolve's all about.
Mairead Mackle, CEO and founder of Tarasis, thank you.